morning. Welcome. So glad you could join us this morning for our message portion of the service. Looking forward to starting a new series this month. We're calling What Now? What Now? Where do we go from here? What Now? So I think you're going to enjoy and be blessed by what God has brought for us today. Looking forward to sharing that with you. But first, I want to share an announcement with you. We've been hearing from local food banks that they are in great need. First of all, their donations have dropped significantly in the last month, and also they are serving more people than ever before. So we wanted to partner with a food bank that's closest to our church. It's called Our Community Hunger Center, and it's located in Twinsburg. And they do serve some families who live in Solon, where our church is located. So if you want to partner with us and donate to that community hunger center, we encourage you. We asked them, what do you need? And they told us they need three things: pasta, any kind of pasta. They need any kind of beans and any kind of boxed cereal. So they also said if you want to bring toiletries, those are always welcome. And of course, cash is great because they work with another food bank and sometimes they can get food for a reduced price even more than we can. So they work with a distributor in Akron, Canton. And so whatever you want to do, if you want to write a check, make it payable to Our Community Hunger Center so we can just pass that along directly to them. If you want to utilize our e-giving opportunities, then just make sure you notate food bank for that, because we want to bless them. So you bring your cash donations, your checks, your food items, your toiletry items to our church parking lot. The address is on the page here. You will see it. And that we will be available to pick those up on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, May 6th, from 6:30 to 7:30. We will follow social distancing protocols in that if you bring food, have it in the trunk of your car. And when you arrive, we will wave and say hi, but we will stay back and we will take the food out of your trunk and put it directly into our trunks, the people who are helping to transfer it to the community center. So you don't have to worry about being exposed to anything, but if you want to help, we invite you to help, and it's going to be a blessing. Also, I just want to let you know, if you're part of Oak River Church family, we are also including a generous check from our missions fund. We just felt like it was something we wanted to do, so we included a generous check that we'll be taking over on Thursday as well. So you bring your stuff to the church parking lot on Wednesday so we can deliver it on Thursday. And by the way, they assured us they will sanitize everything once it's there. They'll sanitize it before they bring it into the building. So no worries there. So it's a great opportunity to be a blessing, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in a community. So I hope you can participate in that. So as I said, we are starting our message series for the month of May, and we're calling this theme for May, What Now? What Now? I feel like we spent the whole month of April figuring out how to do life in stay home mode for the most part, unless you're an essential worker and you're figuring out how to be safe and be an essential worker. And now, where do we go from here? What now? And so the title of today's message I'm calling Waiting Well. We are in waiting mode right now. None of us like it. None of us like it. Even the people who are making the decisions to have us wait probably don't like the decision either. But we are waiting. So how do we wait well? If you want an example of someone who didn't wait well in Scripture, you might want to just check out 1 Samuel 13. I didn't want to spend any time on it today because I have so much that I want to share about someone who waited well. But if you want to look at someone who didn't wait so well and what resulted, check it out, 1 Samuel 13. But We are going to look today at the life of John the Baptist. He's a pretty familiar character in the Bible. He's a well-known person. And so we're going to look at him because I feel like he really knew how to wait well. You may remember he had quite a miraculous birth announcement, angels showing up in the temple. It's interesting. He had really old parents, and everyone who heard the story called it a miracle, his birth. And so I think we can assume that John the Baptist heard that story many times in his life. Not a lot of pressure, right? Let's read about it in Luke 1:14. We will stay in the Gospels today, so it'll be very easy for you to find scripture. Luke 1:14-17. This is when the angel appears to Zechariah, John's father, and he tells him the good news. This is what he says about the impending pregnancy and birth. He says, "You will have great joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or any other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Spirit even before his birth." Wow. "And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who were rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Can you imagine hearing this about your birth story? I have three sons, and all of them enjoy hearing the story of their birth. I can imagine John also heard the story of his birth, maybe even when he didn't want to, but he knew from very early on that he was a miracle, that he was chosen by God, that he had an incredible purpose to his life. And it wasn't small, it was large. And so I can imagine as he was growing up and through the angst of those years of growing up, he must have been waiting a lot. Like, okay, when's something special going to happen? I mean, I have acne, so that doesn't feel very special. You know, he had to figure out how to wait early on. He knew there was a promise attached to his life, but he had to wait for its fulfillment. And then at his actual birth, go over to Luke 1:65-66. After he was born and his father gave him the name, well, his mother gave him the name, and everybody said, "Are you sure? No one in your family is named by that." And then Zechariah was able to speak for the first time since the angel appeared to him in the temple, and he said, "His name is John." This is what it says about the whole experience. "Awe fell on the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, 'What will this child turn out to be?' For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way." He knew there was a promise attached to his life, but he had to wait for its fulfillment. We don't have much about his growing up years. We have one little tiny verse about his growing up years, but I think it's significant. In Luke 1:80, so same chapter, skip a few verses. It says this about John and his growing up years. "John grew up and became strong in spirit." That's a good thing to do in the waiting. Grow, become strong in spirit. "And he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel." Now, it's interesting to me because it doesn't say why He was in the wilderness. Why did he end up in the wilderness? We don't really know how long he was in the wilderness. We know he came out of the wilderness and began his public ministry at about the age of 30, because he and Jesus were the same age approximately. And so we know he was about 30 when he came out, but we don't know what time he went in. Was he 16? Was he 20? Like, we don't know how long he lived in the wilderness. But what did he learn there? I think we can see in Scripture that he learned to wait well. And that is my heart cry for us as we are still in this stay-home mode. We talked about the last 2 weeks about the importance of getting quiet before the Lord and surrendering to his plan. But I think we have something to learn from John the Baptist as well about what it means to wait well. What does it mean to wait well? The first thing I noticed is that he learned to be content with little without the comforts of home and community. He learned to be content with little without the comforts of home and community. Because when it says he lived in the wilderness, it's not like that was comfortable. There was no community. He was alone out in harsh living conditions. I have been to Israel. I have seen the wilderness, and it is rugged. It is very rugged. It's not comfortable. We see this in Matthew 3:4. So the first gospel, 3:4, it says this about John and his days in the wilderness. It says, John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair. Ouch! That's a little different than comfy yoga pants, isn't it? Coarse camel hair. And he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locust and wild honey. Yeah, that's not comfortable. That's not comfortable. We think we have it tough because when we go to the grocery store, there's an aisle that's missing an entire food group. This week I went and there was no chicken to be found. None. And I'm like, where's all the chicken? I'm so confused. But I've never had to eat locust and honey. I like honey, but I like options too. He learned to live on little. He learned to live without the comforts of home, without the comforts of community. While he was waiting, he learned to be content with little. But number two, he also learned to listen for the voice of God. He learned to listen for the voice of God. In Luke 2:2-3, back over to Luke now. Luke 2:2-3 says this about John. It lists some historical information about who was in charge first. And then it says, at this time, a message from God came to John, son of Zechariah, who was living in the wilderness. There he is. Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Notice that he stayed in the wilderness until he heard the voice of God saying, move. He learned to listen for the voice of God. He stayed put until he heard from the Lord. I respect that about him. He learned how to listen, to tune his listening to what God was saying. Listen, there's a lot of voices right now. We're hearing from a lot of people who disagree with this or agree with this or whatever. And, you know, this message is not about that. It's not. I can assure you that I have opinions about what is happening. But this message is not about that. This message is about learning to wait until you hear what God has to say, and letting His voice be the one that matters most in my life. Letting His voice be the one that matters the most. So John learned to be content with little. He learned to listen to the voice of God. And then number three, he learned, if we could all learn this, he learned to get all of his validation from God. He learned to get all of his validation from God rather than people. Well, Sandy, how do you know that? Because the way he lived when he came out of waiting proved it. Turn over to Luke 3 now. That's only one chapter over from where we were. Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 19. Luke 3, 15 through 19 says this. Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. How easy would it have been? Let's pause. How easy would it have been for John to get all of his validation from people who were wondering if he was the Messiah? He didn't. John answered their questions by saying, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. John used many such warnings as he announced the good news. That is confusing to me a little bit. Because sometimes I think that good news is only positive and sweet and soft. But John promoted the good news, but he had some warnings to go with his new good news. Sometimes warnings are good. It proves that he did not say what he said to get validation from people. He said what he said because he had learned to listen to the voice of God. John also publicly criticized Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee. Yeah, he got his validation from God, not from people, because he never would have criticized the leader of the area that he lived in for marrying Herodias, his brother's wife, and for many other wrongs he had done. John learned to get validated by God and God alone, not by people. He pointed people to Jesus, and he needed no applause from people. I don't think this gives us permission to go out and be nasty and call it a warning that's good news. Hear my heart. I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's about a willingness to wait well, to be content with little, to learn to hear the voice of God, and then to get all of our validation from Him, even if that's saying something that maybe someone doesn't like. So how do we wait well? We talked about how John waited well. How do we wait well? In our current situation, how do we wait well? The first thing that came to mind, looking at the life of John, is that we need to stay patient for God's timing. We need to stay patient for God's timing. It's not easy. But we need to hear His voice and stay patient for His timing. Number two, we need to learn to be content with less. The world is not going to end if I can't buy a chicken this week. The world is not going to end if I have to borrow some toilet paper from someone. Borrow is probably the wrong word. you know. It's not going to end. We need to learn to be content with little. Learn to be content with less, at least. Number three, we need to develop a lifestyle of listening to God. I feel like that's one of the things that has happened in my life and in my heart in this stay home mode. When I do go out, I feel this awareness that I want to hear from God. I don't stop anywhere without hearing from Him. Yeah, that's good. You can do this. Yeah, go over there. I want to hear Him and follow His lead. We need to learn to listen well to the voice of God. We need to, number four, get all validation from God. We need to know who we are in Him, what He says about us, and let that mean more to us than what anyone else says about us, or even what we think of ourselves. What does He say about us? And then number five, we need to point people to Jesus. We need to point people to Jesus like John did. So stay patient for God's timing. Learn to be content with less. Develop a lifestyle of listening for God's voice. Get all validation from God and point people to Jesus. Point people to Jesus. That is what waiting well looks like. That's exactly what waiting well looks like. It's a good time to go into communion. I think I want to pray first. Okay? So gather your communion if you haven't already. And let's just pray over what God has just spoken through His Word. God, we come to You. And we thank You for all that You are teaching us as we lean into You during this hard place, as we settle into Your lap and get quiet before You and surrender our plan to Yours. And so I pray that You would show us what we can do to wait well. Show us what we can do. This is what now looks like. What now? Wait. Wait well. So show us how to do that, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we take the bread this morning, I felt really inspired to have us pray for people who are struggling in their mind right now. Obviously, the economic situation has created incredible stress on people, and sometimes we can get inside of our head and really spiral downwards fast. And so I just want to take a moment, and I want us all to put our faith together and pray for anyone who is struggling with any kind of sickness in their mind, any kind of illness in their mind. And if you are, first of all, you are not alone. Second of all, Jesus wants to heal you. This is what the bread represents, is healing, healing. And so He wants to heal you. And so I just want to pray for all who are feeling those things right now. God, we come to You and we intercede for anyone who is struggling with sickness in their mind. Of course, we want everyone healed in their bodies as well, but I just felt like You were pointing us towards praying for those who are struggling with any kind of depression, any kind of hopelessness, any thoughts that life is not worth living. God, I ask You to bring healing to them because of what Jesus has done in His body. I ask You to bring healing to their mind, that You would quiet minds before You and bring healing. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the bread. If you know anyone who's struggling with that, or if you are someone who's struggling with that, reach out on private message on this page. Somebody will call you and pray with you individually. If you would like, we would love to be a support to you in any way that we can. But if you know someone and they're not watching, I am asking you, I'm giving you a mission today to become a voice of hope in their lives. Not false hope. False hope is pretending that things aren't difficult. That's not real. Real hope is beholding Jesus, beholding God, and knowing that He is greater than any problem we are facing right now. So become a voice of hope in the lives of people who are struggling. Now for the juice, I just want to have us ask God to show us one step that we can take to wait better than we've been waiting, to wait well. To wait well. So I want to pray over the juice. God, I thank you for this juice and what it represents. That the blood of your Son made it possible for me to live in a way that is fully connected to you, where there are no barriers between us, and you've made full payment for every way I've fallen short. And so I thank you for that. And I come from that position right now. And I ask you to show us as individuals how we can wait well. How we can wait well. Whichever of those points spoke to us, Lord, whether we need to figure out how to stay more patient with your timing, whether we need to learn to be content with less, whether we need to develop a lifestyle where we listen to you better, or we learn to get validation from you, or we just need to learn to point people to Jesus better. God, speak to us on one of those points that we can partner with you and what you dream of for us in this waiting season. And I pray that you would empower us to do it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let's take the juice together. Amen. Amen. Wow. God is good. Let's learn to wait well this week and make the most of our time. Make the most of our time. So coming up very soon is our family chat. We encourage you to join us for that. You should have gotten the link in your email. Also tomorrow at noon is our prayer. Hope you're able to come to that. Remember the food bank drop-off on Wednesday night from 6:30 to 7:30. And then next week, I hope you're able to come back. What now? And I would love to give you the title, but most of you who know me know that I have titles planned out for 4 to 6 weeks at a time. But as I'm waiting well, I'm learning to hear the voice of God and get daily manna. So I don't know what the title is going to be for next week, but I'm sure it's going to be good. But it will be about what now? Where do we go from here? What now? Thank you again for joining us. Have a wonderful day and a great hope-filled rest of your week.